Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's the freaking weekend, baby. I'm about to have me some fun.
8:09. It's Friday, February 12th, and it's time for Dean Richards' Morning Entertainment Roundup, and we begin with some sad news about Chick Corea.
Yeah, one of the greats in jazz, jazz fusion in particular, Chick Corea, just one of the great jazz pianists of all time, but, you know, probably best known for bringing rock into jazz and Brazilian music and Spanish music. Back in my old WNUA days, we used to play Chick Corea music all the time. It was great. Hosted a couple of his concerts. He died at his home in Tampa Bay, Florida, after a battle with cancer. He played with all of the greats, Dizzy Gillespie and Miles Davis and Stan Getz, the great Sarah Vaughan, put out 90 albums in his career and earned 23 Grammy Awards. That is the seventh highest amount of Grammy Awards for a single artist of all time. So 79 years old, great loss in the music world.
Absolutely. I finally watched the Britney Spears documentary last night.
Oh.
And you know what? The first half was interesting. Kind of felt sorry for Britney Spears. And the second half was about the conservatorship or whatever
conservatorship.
Yeah. Got kind of bogged down in a lot of legalese. And today there's news about a court decision, right?
Yeah. I think it was 2008, Britney Spears' father, Jamie, was named the conservator of her estate to make all the decisions for her estate. Britney Spears has never really liked it, and she and her legal team have been filing petitions, I would say over the past year, to try to get her father removed from that position. Yesterday, another appeal went to a court, and it was turned down on one hand because Britney wants him off completely. She said that her father scares her, and she doesn't want him having any control of her estate. On the other hand, he was trying to get sole conservatorship of the estate, and that was turned down as well. So the judge in the ruling yesterday decided to let it continue to be a co-conservatorship with the father and also a financial institution managing Britney Spears' funds. And the judge said that, you know, certainly between the two, they ought to be able to figure out what's in Britney's best interest.
And Taylor Swift released some new music overnight. Well, not really new, is it?
No, it's her old music that she said she was going to be re-releasing. You know, there was that big kind of legal battle, another legal battle, going on with the guy that took over the company that controls her most of her music library, meaning her old albums. Taylor Swift does not like this guy at all. Scooter Braun is his name. He's also the manager of Justin Bieber and a bunch of other artists. But she has no love lost for this guy at all. And she can't do anything about it. Her old albums, you know, contractually back in the day, belonged to this company that the Scooter guy bought. So she said what she was going to do instead is re-record her old albums and encourage her fans, who, you know, they're pretty loyal, pretty much will do whatever Swiftie says, to go out and buy these new versions of her old albums. And she released the first one last night, right at midnight. She released the Love Story album. And this is the new version of her first single. Sound that different to me, but
Yeah, I like it. I like this record.
I love the song. It sounds pretty much the same.
It does.
Which is not, it's neither a good nor bad statement. Because if I had the album, I don't know why I would want to go buy another one, except to support Taylor Swift. I mean, I think that's what her fans will do. They'll certainly back her up. The rest of the album is supposed to come out. The Fearless album is supposed to come out in April.
You know, watching that Britney Spears documentary, I was thinking of artists like Taylor Swift who have managed to keep it all together and have what seems to be a pretty good life despite all the quick success at a young age.
Yeah, it's rare to find artists that hit it big that young. That don't have lots of problems, financial, emotional, and otherwise. It's hard to be, suddenly become that famous and that rich so quick. Not that I would know, but
yeah, I think
observation.
I think the poster boy for doing it right, because child actors always get in trouble. Ron Howard. I mean, this guy, great marriage, great family, growing up, great family, great success, yep. Moving from acting to directing, and he was a child star when he did Andy Griffith.
Yeah,
right?
He was 4 or 5 years old when he started doing that.
And he's normal.
Somebody posted a picture on social media. I should have captured it so I could have shared it, and I didn't, but it was a photograph of the day that they filmed that opening sequence for the Andy Griffith Show, where Andy and little Opie, I mean like little, really little Opie,
fishing,
are walking down that dirt road with the fishing pole, and they're skipping the rocks.
Uh-huh.
And somebody took a picture of with the lights and the cameras and all that. One of the most iconic things in television ever that Ronnie Howard was also a part of.
And you could see the behind the scenes. That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
I'd like to check that out. Talking entertainment news with Dean Richards. When is the Post Malone virtual concert happening, Dean?
That is going to be going on February 27th. It is the 25th anniversary of Pokemon and
wow.
Post Malone. First of all, I can't believe it's 25 years.
Right.
Where does the time go? But Post Malone and many other artists, including Katy Perry and some others, are all going to be participating in this virtual concert that will be on a whole bunch of YouTube and a bunch of other online platforms. So, February 27th.
Brooklyn 99, is that the name of the show? I never watched the show. I heard it was good. Now it's ending, huh?
Yeah, really funny show with Andy Samberg and Terry Crews and Dirk Blocker, among many, many others. Really good ensemble. They will complete their 8th season, and then they're going to call it quits. This is the show that was originally on Fox and then got canceled on Fox, and NBC picked it up. And they've been running it for the past 3-4 years, but they did make the announcement yesterday at the conclusion of its current season. They're going to wrap it up. Highly recommend it. Very, very funny. Very well-written show.
That's what I hear. All right. Besides the Britney Spears documentary, what's on TV over the weekend?
Well, let's see. We've got there are a bunch of new movies over the weekend. Probably the one with the most local interest is called Judas and the Black Messiah. This is the movie that is all about former Illinois Black Panther Party leader Fred Hampton and his rise to running the Black Panthers in Chicago. An FBI informant infiltrates the Black Panthers, working with J. Edgar Hoover and a number of other government officials to take Fred Hampton down. He was ultimately assassinated in his bed in Chicago back in 1969. But Daniel Kaluuya, who starred in the movie Get Out, he was in Black Panther, he's been in lots of other movies, stars in this movie as Fred Hampton. Lakeith Stanfield is the FBI informer. One of the things that we're going to be doing on my Sunday show this coming week is having a chat with Congressman Bobby Rush, who was also one of the co-founders of the Illinois Black Panther Party. He's seen the movie, and I'm so curious to get his take on you know, what they put up on the big screen as opposed to what, you know, really happened. So we're going to have that, among other things. But this is a very, very gritty, very violent movie, but it's so well done. The performances are really well done. I gave it a Dean's List A. It's in theaters and also is on HBO Max starting today as well. Robin Wright has a new movie out that she directs. It's making her feature film directorial debut about a woman who just wants to escape her life, escape the modern world. She goes to a deserted cabin in Wyoming with zero luxuries, no plumbing, no electricity, no nothing. And she just thinks she's going to have a nice, simple life. Didn't think about the idea of possibly starving or freezing or wild animals. She happens to come upon an outdoorsman played by Oscar nominee Damien Bashir, who becomes her only human contact and her only means of survival, of trying to let her respect what she's trying to do in the wilderness, but also provide her some human touch. The you don't really understand why she's trying to escape from the real world. So I would have liked a little more backstory in this movie. I wound up giving it a Dean's List C+. If you're a fan of Kristen Wiig, she's got a new movie that's out this weekend called Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. The story of these two lifelong friends. They leave their small town. They go to a resort for the first time. And Kristen Wiig is one of these people that can, you know, do no wrong in my book. If you're a fan of Dave Chappelle, if you want some laughs, his show is back on Netflix. There were some legal issues with Comedy Central and some others. And out of respect, Netflix, who owns the rights to the show now, took it off the air until Dave Chappelle could resolve those legal differences. They now have been resolved. Netflix has put the show back on, so if you want to watch some of that over the weekend, you can. There's a new series on Netflix. This has got your name written all over it, Bob. It's called Buried by the Bernards. It is a reality show that follows a Memphis funeral home.
Oh, good.
The quirky family that runs the R. Bernard Funeral Home in Memphis, Tennessee. I haven't watched any of the episodes, but I've watched some clips in the trailer, and it actually is kind of funny to watch.
What is it, a Southern 6 Feet Under? What's going on here?
Except that it's reality. I mean, if 6 Feet Under were true, that's what this would be, because this is a real life.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, this was the funeral home. They were in the news a long time ago because they started doing drive-through wakes at their funeral home, and that kind of put them on the map. So now they're really on the map. And with Valentine's Day this weekend, boy, I had a hard time, picking. I can't pick my favorite romantic movie of all time. There's too many. Mm-hmm. I always think about the movie Love Actually when I think about romantic movies.
Yep.
I think about the movie The Notebook that makes me cry every time I see it. But there is nothing as romantic as these this one story told from two different perspectives in The Notebook. But what I decided on as my favorite romantic movie is the original Beauty and the Beast, the animated story about unconditional love and these memorable characters and all these great songs. Who doesn't love a dancing spoon and fork?
Nobody.
Who doesn't love a singing teapot for Valentine's Day?
I thought you were going to... Well, never mind. I had some suggestions, but I'll keep them to
myself.
Give
me a couple of... Let's go inside the mind of Bob Surratt for some romantic...
No, you don't want to... You don't want to do that. I don't want to ruin the weekend for you. Sunday on the radio, what time?
Sunday on the radio, we start at 9 a.m. Among the things that we're doing this weekend, Fat Tuesday is coming up, Punchki Day. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into some New Orleans-style cooking. We've got some fun coming up on Sunday morning.
We'll be listening. Have a good weekend, Dean.
You too, Bob. See you.